And welcome back. I'm your host for today, Rhonda McBride. And today on Juno Afternoon, we're going to get to know our neighbors, the eagles. You know, they are an everyday part of the scenery in Juno, but we are not used to seeing them hang upside down from a tree like a bat. But that was the situation. And Kathy Benner, manager of the Juno Raptors Center, joins us now to tell us about that rescue.
Usually when that happens, it's because the eagle has become tangled in fishing line or, you know, some other kind of debris. But this situation was something that I'd never seen before.
So what do you think happened to the bird?
Well, what happened was that once the volunteer, J.D. McComas, got up there and saw the situation, it turned out that the eagle's foot was trapped in sort of the fork of a branch. It was nothing holding him there besides the tree. And he was just in a weakened state and could not get himself out of that situation. And he was like 70 feet up the tree.
So it must have been a very touch and go rescue.
You know, with everything that was involved, it went quite smoothly, I have to say. Usually, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and we're usually doing these things without any fanfare. You know, we get a call about an injured eagle or other bird. Our volunteers show up and, you know, we attempt a rescue, and most of the time we're successful. Sometimes we're not. And that's the end of it. But this bird, because of where it was and the resources that were needed to help it, they had to go in there and clear out tons of snow. This was over by the float pond, right on the other side of the EVAR trail. I think most people know where that is, out at the airport. And then just to make room for the fire engine to come, which was wonderful that Capital City Fire and Rescue was willing to come out and help us. We could have possibly climbed the tree if someone had the proper equipment, but we just didn't have access to that. So the only way to get that bird down was going to be with a ladder truck.
And I guess it's kind of a sad story because the bird was not in a condition where it probably would have survived.
He wasn't. The fact that the bird was a very small male, he was what we would call starving. His keel was very sharp, which is the breastbone. He was in a very weakened state. His left leg was swollen. That's not the leg that was caught. The right leg was caught. And we had taken him to the vet and they did an x-ray and found out that his leg was actually broken probably about a month or so ago. And it had started to heal, but it was right below the knee joint. And there was just no way that bird was ever going to be able to survive on his own.
Well, those birds, when you watch them in the sky, seem so powerful. It's hard to imagine them getting into these kind of situations.
You know, they're living creatures just like us. And when you become compromised through injury or illness, your ability to survive is just not there. These birds expend a lot of energy hunting and, you know, trying to get enough food to survive. And here we are, kind of at the tail end of winter, so there's not quite as much food, and it's a difficult life for these animals, but they are majestic and they are strong, and bald eagles are fighters. I have seen some pretty horrific things, and these eagles, they want to survive.
So with this eagle, though, I guess he was kind of given a gentle death then, rather than, I guess, what, he would have stayed in that tree, hung there for days, and
drawn-out
death?
Exactly. He was already getting hypothermic. It was cold. It was a horrible way to be, a terrible place to possibly die. So yes, he was given a very humane death and painless, quick.
So I have to ask you, because a lot of times, you know, when there's a rescue, the bird is given to you and you hold it with open arms. I even though the bird is sick or there's a problem with it, it's got sharp claws and a sharp beak. Mm-hmm. Are you ever afraid to handle one of those birds?
I used to be when I first started. I've been doing it long enough now that I don't really have a fear. I know the procedure of how to handle it. The important part to remember is that those talons and those feet are very strong. They have a very powerful grip and they can do a lot of damage. The beak, they could bite you. So those, you have to get control of the feet. And that's one of the main things. JD, when he went up after this eagle, he had years and years of experience with all kind of raptors. He had never handled an eagle before. So I just gave him a little instruction about always knowing where those feet are, you know, having control of them, trying to keep the head covered. And those are the main things. And you kind of just have to do it and get practice and then you know. But
I've always wondered, because I've never approached a bird like this. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of communication between you and the bird? Or is that just kind of out there?
Yeah.
Humanize the bird somehow.
Exactly. Yeah. No, they are not motivated or anything by, I mean, if anything, it stresses them out if you're talking to them. So we just try to be quiet. You know, we have to assess the situation because everything's different. On what day was it? I think Thursday we rescued an eagle from down at AgPro, and it was a large female. She was caught in a tree by some kind of twine. It wasn't fishing line. It was, I don't know, some kind of cotton twine. She was hanging by her neck and her wings. And we were able to climb up there. And the main thing was to keep that bird calm because every time she struggled and flapped her wings, she was just going to get more tangled. So, you know, the thing is to try to be quick, try to not stress the bird out and get control of those feet. And once we had the feet, we were able to cut the line and bring her down. And she was actually released later on that day. She wasn't injured. She just needed to be cut out of that tree.
Well, that's good that you got there in plenty of time. You know, you rescue other birds. And of course, there was the saga of the swan that people have seen and worried about all winter. And it finally wound up being rescued with a sheet. What is the story of that bird?
So that swan was first reported, I believe, back in November before Thanksgiving, and it was seen out at Auk Lake. The reason why they reported it is because it had kind of been left behind. There were other swans there, but this is a cygnet. This is a first-year trumpeter, and he was kind of left behind, and they were a little concerned about him. So we went out and assessed the situation, but the bird was out in the middle of the lake, you know, able to swim. He looked normal. The only thing that we could see on him was that some of his primary feathers, which are the flight feathers, seemed to be broken off at the tip. So possibly that is why he was left behind and didn't fly away with the rest. This kind of went on. We got calls occasionally about him and we go check on him. And then the lake started to freeze and that kind of changed things a little bit. We started to get a little bit more worried about him. People were keeping an eye on him. Worried about him getting enough food to eat. He ended up with a tiny little patch of water. We went out with a group to try to rescue him and he stayed in that patch of water and then he got up onto the ice and we were not going to risk our lives to go out on the ice. So we kind of had to just let him go again. He ended up making his way out to Auk Bay and he kind of hung around that area. There were some people that were feeding him and keeping an eye on him. And we finally came up with a plan to try to lure him with food. Since he was kind of used to this one person, she was the one that got him up on shore. And then I had someone else who he was used to get close enough to be able to just grab the bird. And that's how we finally caught it.
So what do events like this tell you about the community's connection with the birds?
Juno is very, very much supportive and concerned about wildlife here. I have seen over the years. We get calls from all kinds of people. And I mean, anything from a little sparrow hitting their window to, you know, even, you know, birds that are brought in by cats or, you know, they find them along the side of the road and they're not flying. People are very concerned and they're very supportive of us, and we are so grateful to the community of Juno for everything that they do for us.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the community of Juneau that supports the Raptor Center specifically. I understand that it's completely staffed by volunteers. And how many volunteers and what do they do?
Yes, we are a volunteer organization. We have a few paid positions. Mine is one of them. I am the manager, so I do get paid. And then we, in the summertime, we hire two naturalists for up at the tram to be at our eagle display. Of course, that's not happening and hasn't for the last few years because of COVID. But anyway, but yeah, our volunteers are amazing. We have people that have been with the Raptor Center from the beginning, and it was established in 1987. So that's a long time. We have about, I want to say we have about 10 active volunteers at the moment. We're not taking any new ones at this time because of COVID. Normally we will do trainings for new volunteers, but our clinic space is very small and we're not doing it right at this time. But if people want to volunteer, they can still send in applications, and I'm kind of keeping a list of people.
All right. Well, we are about out of time, and I wonder if you could tell us about some events you have coming up that people might want to get involved in.
Yeah, we have our annual meeting that we normally hold out at the Mendenhall Mall, but because of COVID, we haven't done it out in the public. But it will be a Zoom meeting this time, March 27th at 1:00. If people are interested in participating, they can contact us either through Facebook or they can send an email to JunoRaptorCenter@info.org, or they could call our office, 586-8393, if they would like a link to join in on that Zoom meeting. We do have three vacant board positions, treasurer and two member at large. So if anyone's interested in that, they can contact us. We have a gift shop on our website that's new. If people could go to our website and check that out, JunoRaptorCenter.org. Yeah, I think that's probably it. Our emergency pager is 790-5424, and that is just for bird emergencies.
And you can find that on the web if you can't remember the number or don't.
Yes,
have
all
a
that
pencil
information
handy.
Is on our website. We have a Facebook page that I try to update regularly. We're also on Instagram. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much, Kathy Benner, manager of the Juneau Raptor Center, for joining us. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.